On today's episode of Big Time, brought to you by BJ's Tavern. Speaking of BJ's Tavern, this Saturday night, after the UMFK Hall of Fame celebration, yoga party at BJ's this Saturday night. So everyone go check that out. Our presenting sponsor, BJ's Tavern. On today's episode, we are joined by our second Madawaska Owl to join us and chop it up. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, we're joined by Rusty Netto on Big Time. Let's go. Big Time. I'm on my way, I'm making it.
Gentlemen, welcome to another round of this incredible show we call
Big Time.
Live online location, special edition, coming from Big Rick's. Big Rick's wings and things, right? Big Rick's burgers, wings?
Yeah, County Connection, Big Rick's, same.
County Connect, wait, formerly known as County Connection. We're not here with Big Rick, though. We're here with Lil Bro. Rusty Netto on Big Time. Rusty, go ahead and say hello real quick.
Hey, how you doing, folks?
Rusty, how do you say Big Time anyway?
Big Time.
That works, man. So we got Rusty Netto in the building. Would have been what, class of
2001?
We'll get into that later on. But Madawaska Owl, this is our second owl on the podcast. So we'll see how it goes. Before we get into anything, first question I always ask: what are you sipping on today, Rusty?
Nice bottle of water.
For good reason, though. We got a party we're going to tonight, so it's trying to stay hydrated now.
Shout out Derek Cooper, Bianca. Nice Jack and Jill tonight up in Wall of Grass.
Should be a good time. Snowmobile Club, it's the place you want to be. So we'll see how that goes tonight. Let's just get right into it. Rusty, Madawaska, Maine, born and raised, right? Were you born in Madtown? I don't even know what the surrounding towns are. I know Fort Kent. I don't really know Madtown. So.
Yeah, born in Fort Kent, raised in Madawaska. My mom grew up in South Portland, came up here when she was 18, met my dad. Fell for the taller guy, 6'5 dad, you know. And have four kids. Got my big bro Rick, my sister Tina. Shout out Tina, Portland attorney, great attorney. My other sister Katie out in Arizona, ER doctor, Hopkins alum, doing big things. So, yeah,
you guys are all over the place.
All over.
You've been all over the place, right?
I've been a little here, a little there. Yeah.
But now we're down in the Southern Maine region.
Yeah, North Berwick. Yeah.
Yeah. Car salesman.
Car salesman, three times running salesman of the year, competitive. You know, let's go. Okay.
So, growing up, what was it like here in Madtown? I know Coop touched on his episode a little bit about athletics here in Madawaska. What were you into as a youth? Just, we know you was a basketball player, but was it a little bit of everything, or?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, it was a nice area to grow up in, I think. A lot of older players, older guys really involved in the men's basketball league, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of paved the way for the young guys. And sports are big. I mean, from Little League to soccer, we're always doing something.
Yeah.
And people hopped on to different sports. But with my dad being a former basketball player, you know, up at, you know, Madawaska, then did a little bit at UMFK when they were good. You know, so I always wanted to kind of follow his footsteps, put in a lot of time playing ball, and just love growing up here. I thought it was nice, Canada right across the border. And, you know, besides not knowing how to speak French,
right.
You know, I made it a little harder with those Canadian girls. But
yeah.
I guess if you're cute, you're cute. It's universal, so not too bad. But, no, it was good. I like Madawaska a lot.
Were you born in the States or were you born in Canada?
Born in Fort Kent, because right. Back then people didn't know that you should cross the border. That way you're a dual citizen, so,
yeah.
You know, so you drive the extra 20 minutes, go to Fort Kent. Yeah. But yeah.
Had people known like the benefits. I think a lot of us would have been born in Canada back then.
Absolutely, yeah.
We didn't know, though.
No clue.
Yeah. But you touched on it. Your dad was a ball player, right? So it's kind of like where you kind of found your way in terms of basketball, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was always doing the men's basketball thing. He played in the leagues in Fort Kent. They used to do a lot of Canadian leagues. Shout out to your dad, Joey Bard. I remember them battling thousands of times up at Fort Kent. And, you know, Danny DeJardin, you got a lot of the old folks, older guys, Bob, I don't remember his last name at this moment, but there's a lot of old timers that really were involved. So I just would go to all the tournaments, and I really wanted to be like them. They let me play around on the court, and it was good.
Yeah, I think that me and you kind of came up the same way just in terms of, like, our dads playing ball, because I remember, like, being younger, following dad, like, Sunday morning basketball and stuff like that. And I feel like we used to come up here from time to time And actually, there was times too where Dad would take us to, they play in Saint Augusta High School, and I feel like guys from Madtown would show up.
Yeah.
I feel like you were always on the sidelines too, just shooting around and stuff like that. Yeah. So I feel like we came up the same way in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Madtown, let me ask you this, because Fort Kent, we have a notorious, well-known, historic Sunday morning pickup scene, right? Sunday morning, 10:30 after church, high school is where it used to be. What was the deal here in Madtown?
So we had men's basketball Tuesday night, Thursday night, and then Sunday would be at 1. Which is kind of random time to have ball, but it was competitive. We always wanted a spot. Nice thing with me, my dad opened the gym a lot of times, so they let me start playing when I was 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah.
So I was a gym rat, you know, and it was good. It was good.
You have anybody else that came up with you that was kind of in the same situation? Or?
Yeah, I mean, Clavette's dad was super, Andrew Clavette, shout out Andrew Clavette. His dad was super active, you know, so he was always at the gym. Ben Desjardins, shout out Ben Desjardins. He was around, you know, Cooper. There was Denise Sear and his brother Eric. They were always balling. You know, even my brother Ricky would come play a lot of pickup, and my sister Katie.
Yeah.
You know, she was an athlete in her own right, and we just had a lot of that same group. They were always waiting to play, and we're nice enough that the older folks let us hop on. So
Let me ask you this, because we had this conversation on a couple of the Fort Kent podcasts. We were naming like who was nice, like when we were young, like who were like the good guys at pickup. Give me like an all time from what you saw. Yep. Sunday morning, or whatever pickup was, give me like your top five Madtown pickup guys from you growing up.
Well, I'd have to say probably the top, and you know, I played with Andrew Clavette. Andrew Clavette's a hell of a ball player, but I'd have to say I'm more of a fan of his brother John.
Oh, that's what I've heard.
And John was nice. I mean, John was one of those smooth, you know, just athletic, nothing forced, didn't have to. He's just a beast. And I feel like he could have dropped 30, you know, 40 points a game without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
And that's not no diss to Andrew. Andrew's a hell of a ball player. I love playing with Andrew. But John was probably that guy. I remember guys like Joey Canaan, Pierre Michaud. Shout out Pierre and his little brother Guy and Andre and that whole squad. But I felt Joey Canaan was a beast. A few times we were lucky we had, I think his name was Chad Daly, I think it was. He scored 1,000 points. For our high school, which is a big thing, because you might have 3-4 dudes that have done it.
Yeah.
So there was a few guys like that were really nice that would play.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So how about growing up, the high school scene? Because your brother, how much older is Ricky than you?
He's 3 grades older. Yeah.
All right. So you kind of both had big brothers, so we kind of followed around them and their exploits on the playing field. Yep. What was it like growing up? Were you going to high school games like very, very young, watching games and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was lucky. I had, you know, all my siblings are a year to 2 years older as far as grade levels. And, you know, my brother being a big guy, you know, a solid dude, he played all kinds of sports and he held it down, but he also looked out for his little brother. So kept me out of some troubles, you know, because the whole Big Rig thing, they didn't want to mess with little Russ. So that helped out. But, yeah, I was always watching the games. I remember my brother, when he was at his awards ceremony for basketball, I think it was varsity or whatever, his junior year, and the coach, I was in 8th grade, and he mentioned me. He said, I can't wait for Ricky's little brother, Rusty, because he's always in the gym. You know, I can't wait to see what he's got coming up. So, you know, I was really lucky to have older siblings and watch all their sports. And, you know, Madawaska is a really great town as far as supporting their athletes. I think it's one of the best schools from soccer. A lot of school soccer, you might have 20 people in the crowd. Madawaska, you always had 50 to 100, and the basketball games are packed.
Yeah.
If your team's good, they come to watch.
That's so. The thing, if you're good, right?
If you're good, yeah. They're fan weather fans.
It's
but.
No different than anywhere else. You know, if you got a good team, they'll come out and watch you play.
Yep.
So in Coop's episode, we didn't really dive into, like, the teams before you guys got to high school, but did you guys, Madawaska, have good teams like coming up like late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, a couple of the guys I mentioned. I mean, you're talking like the Joey Canaan, Pierre Michaud era, Twin Towers, you know, they're both 6'5", 6'6", big dudes, played together at the same time. A couple tournament runs, they didn't go anywhere in the tournament, but I mean, they were definitely a force. You had the Daly guy that was nice. There was a John Cowie, I think his name was, Doug Sear, you know, just some names that I remember. Obviously, the Clavettes, not just John. I mean, people talk about John. People talk about Andrew. Pete was a really nice basketball player.
Who came first? Who's oldest? Is it Peter?
Pete's the oldest. You know, okay. And Pete kind of similar story to me. He was a good ball player. Had a little, you know, a little hiccup here or there.
Yeah.
You know, but Pete's that pretty boy swagger. You know, played a little bit of UMFK after. So shout out Pete Clavette. Yeah. The whole Clavette family from Don, the dad, to Andrew, Pete, and John. They're all, you know, a bunch of nice basketball players and good people too. So.
Yeah, no doubt. How about other stuff growing up? Coop mentioned going into Canada, playing sports over there.
Yeah.
You get anything, into anything out there in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, they had some kind of, it was like a Junior Olympics thing for basketball, and we had a team from the States, so we went over. I might have been 12 or 13, so we won that. So that was nice. And then growing up, I you know, I went to a couple of camps. I went to a pro camp, D. Brown Robert Parrish, which was in Massachusetts. And I remember being the only white guy that made the All-Star team.
There you go.
Yeah, so I represented. I remember it was funny. Back in the day, Notorious B.I.G. was huge. And at night, after playing basketball 12 hours, everybody's tired. But you got the real ballers that still were playing outside in the court.
Yeah.
So you go, you know, you got all the athletes and the nice players out there. And they look at me and they say, hey, you want to play? So we're playing until 1, 2 in the morning, listening to, you know, B.I.G. and just getting down. And that was a great thing. And I was lucky enough, I got to shoot around with both Robert Parrish and D. Brown, if people don't know, as old Celtics guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was a great experience, making the All-Star team. And then did the AAU thing, which was nice. You know, made a trip down to Disney World at 14, played at the Disney Sports Complex. A couple cats still in the NBA that were in that tournament. Tyson Chandler, one of them. Yeah, and then there was Ed Curry, who ended up being a flop. But, yeah. You know, there's some names. Probably 4 or 5 guys from that tournament ended up making it to the pros. So it was a good reality check. We had a good team. A lot of people from the county. It was called the County All-Stars. So we had dudes from anywhere, from Catan. You had Brandon McCarthy, Mars Hill. You had Craig Allen. Craig DuRoss, to a lesser extent. I mean, Craig's my boy, but he wasn't on that level. James Sam from Caribou was a nasty ball player. Had a nice swag to him. And then you're talking the Cassavan, you know, Nick Cassavan. Shout out Nick Cassavan. And myself. So we had a really good combination of talent. 1 year we picked up Zach Cody from Van Buren. So he came off the bench. He was a good pickup for us. And we performed well. But once you get to Disney, you play against all the big talents. It's humbling. I mean, we did okay, but yeah. I think we're 2-2.
That's all right. 2 wins. You take that at Nationals.
Yeah, we'll take it. It was a great experience. And then the next year I got picked up. Our team didn't make it to the Nationals. It was supposed to be in Michigan. And there was a team from Bangor that came in second. So you get to get two players from another team or any other teams from the tournament. So out of 20 teams, you pick 2 guys. So I got the call from the guy in Bangor who wanted me to play. And we were getting training to go to Michigan. I ended up breaking my thumb playing baseball in the spring. And then his son, Corey, broke his ankle playing soccer. So the trip never happened.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about that squad that picked me up, that had Joe, I think his name was Joe Campbell. He ended up playing at Orono D1. Yeah. And they won states that next year, that AAU team, or a couple years later. So it would have been a good experience to go to Nationals with them. And it didn't end up happening. But AAU was great. And anybody can get involved in that kind of stuff. Where you're playing outside of your local area is good. It definitely keeps you grounded, makes you want to work harder, because you can be a master of a small area, but once you get to that big area,
it's a little different.
It's a different level.
Different animal.
Yeah, it's big time.
That's what's crazy. Like, AAU wasn't even like available like to my, like my group. Like, I didn't even know about it until I got to like high school, and then just like seeing stuff on TV. Like, I didn't even know there was an AAU scene in Maine.
Yep.
But I mean, you guys were doing this would have been like mid-90s.
Yeah, no, that was mid-90s. But what happened, you know, it's the Cassavan hookup. You know, I had a connection with Cassavan, and that's where the team was based out of Presque Isle. So they just went around and they picked. So I don't know if they stopped. The buck stopped in Madawaska, and they didn't look to Fort Kent.
We just also didn't have very many good players.
Well, there. I mean, you had a couple players. I remember, I don't know if it was Ryan Martin that played for you guys.
Yeah, but I mean, he would have been done like 96. He graduated, so, and then we kind of had like a little dip.
But I mean, you had some scrappy guys. Shout out to the Delisle brothers. I think Jeremiah was the one that gave me the most trouble. But yeah. I mean, they're competitive dudes, and obviously Fort Kent's always been passionate about their sports.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So that was like the mid-90s. You got into the whole AAU thing. Prior to that, were you into like any of the camps in the area? Like, for example, Tiger Camp in Fort Fairfield?
I coached at the Tiger Camp with my coach, Matt Ross. Now, we did that one summer. I did a lot of camps. So I did that, you know, that one with the D. Brown, Robert Parrish, or whatever. But I did the Colby Camp.
Yeah.
I did the Presque Isle one a million times where you sleep over and, you know, the smell of the potatoes in the morning and all that good stuff at NMCC.
Were you there with Chad? Because Chad touched on that in his episode that he was out there for that camp.
Honestly,
it was like him and Ben Raymond, he was saying.
Chad Gervais, shout out to Chad Gervais, you know, barbershop doing things. Great ball player. But I didn't follow Chad. I didn't know Chad. I didn't even know Chad was alive probably till junior year, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
When I started seeing his name next to mine in the paper, you know, because we're battling for who was going to score the most points, which while I played Chad, it definitely was me. So, you know, whatever. But no, I love Chad. Chad's a great dude. But I don't remember seeing him. I mean, remember Coop and Ben Marshall, and you know, those kind of guys. But I don't remember any of the other guys at that point.
Yeah, because you know? Like for us, it was different in terms of like youth and middle school. Like everything was in Fort Kent. We didn't travel. We didn't have travel teams. Like we didn't travel until we got to high school.
Yeah.
So and like for you guys are traveling in middle school, going on these surrounding schools and stuff like that. It's like at what point did you finally get involved or like get to know like the guys from Fort Kent or like aware of like the guys that you'd be kind of battling in high school and stuff like that? Not till high school or before that?
No, way before that. I mean, I was blessed. I'd be going up to play because our, you know, like we mentioned earlier, our dads both play ball, but I knew the Jarrett brothers, Anthony and Arthur Jarrett. Shout out to them. Super nice dudes. I think they're from Mass. And then
UMFK, right?
Yeah, UMFK, yeah. Yeah. And
I think they're both 1,000-point scorers.
Yeah, they were nasty. And yeah. I was probably 13 or 14. And, you know, here they are, these guys from Mass. And they kind of took me under their wing. They thought I was a nice ball player for my age. And I met Neptune Cardona. Neptune. Shout out Neptune Cardona. Neptune, he's nasty, nice. You know, I don't know, Puerto Rican, Spanish, whatever he was. But he was a nasty ball player.
Yeah.
And he definitely showed me a lot of things. I remember playing one-on-one with him. I was 13. And Jim Graffam. Shout out Jim Graffam was there and watched me play, and I beat Neptune in a game of one-on-one. And I think it's because he wasn't playing 100%, but at the same time, Graffam was like, damn, you know, you just lit up my point guard.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to meet Graffam and stuff, but I was pretty familiar with all those. And then Pete Clavette played a little bit there.
Yeah.
And then Guy Michaud, shout out Guy Michaud, a great athlete from Madawaska as well. His brother Pierre was playing for Umpy. So we go watch the, you know, some of the games at UMFK and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
yeah. That's the nice thing about having UMFK there. And like, people don't always take advantage of it, but like the thing up here, like playing sports, is that you're only allowed to play against who's here. Like you're not really exposed to tremendous talent, but like you have a UMFK there, and like the dudes that you got to go and play against, like at 13, 14 years old, like yep. you get exposed to that at a young age, you can come up against that. I don't think people take enough advantage of that, but yep. it is what it is.
Yeah.
So you used to go to UMFK games, nasty teams too during the mid-90s.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So
unbelievable.
You named a couple of them. Let me hear some more guys you remember from that time period.
Well, I know, I mean, probably the best basketball player I ever saw face to face was a guy named Jordan. I don't know what his real name was, but, he's probably 6'7". I think he played at Texas A&M before he came up to UMFK. You know, good looking dude, jacked up. I mean, the guy could fly.
Yes. He could fly. I remember him.
And, you know, we were at a camp and we played some pickup ball. And, you know, I know he married this girl that looked like Daria. I couldn't believe it. You know, he wifed her up because I'm thinking this dude could, you know, do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
But super good dude. But he was just a phenomenal talent. I mean, he's hanging off the backboard doing dunks and just crazy stuff. And he was humble. You know, he's a good dude. So I remember him. I mean, some other names, if you said them, they would probably pop up. But the ones that I really remember was the guys that kind of let me play while they were playing. That would have been Cardona and that would have been the Jarrett brothers.
Yeah.
But like I said, I know once you say a name, I'm sure I remember him too. Yeah. But
I don't remember. Like I was young. I was like 8, 9 at that point. So yeah. I remember going to games, but like, I don't really remember them now, but I just remember having nasty squads.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So we're going to touch on high school here in a moment. Before we get to high school, let me hear more about the youth here in Madawaska. So were you a Kmart parking lot guy or an Ames parking lot kind of guy? Or
yeah,
Fox Theater?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we did a little bit of all. I think I think the Ames with the baseball cards, you know, getting a couple baseball cards for free, that kind of stuff. And then Ames got shut down. And Ames was kind of the area. I think Derek was up at that point living in that area. He moved a couple different spots. But so, you know, that was one of the areas. Then the Kmart parking lot, that's kind of where everybody just hung out, parked. And, you know, you'd have different stuff going on. The Hicks with the big truck. Shout out to all the Hicks.
That was a thing up here, too.
Oh, that's a thing. Just Fort Kent. Okay. That's a county thing, okay. You know. But, you know, and I'm not that kind of dude, but at the same time, a lot of my friends were. So I have no problem with the big lifted up trucks with the, you know, the tires that don't fit right and the muffler and the car's a $500 car, but they got $3,000 accessories.
Yep.
So that was the Kmart parking lot scene. The theater was nice. You know, you're sneaking in because there was woods that connect to the theater. So you could sneak in and one person pays and then everybody's hanging
there
out.
You go.
Yeah, so no, there's definitely a lot of different things to do.
Were you guys dipping into Edmiston back then, like pre-high school, like the arcade and all that shit?
Yeah,
right?
The arcade. I mean, I remember many nights dancing the night away. I mean, I don't even know. Like, I feel like in anything I do, I want to be the best at what I'm at. And yeah. To this day, I still swear I'm the best dancer, best three-point shooter, you know, that there is. But some people might argue that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, we were going to the arcade, and I think it was called The Sub, and back
yes,
then.
Yes, the sub.
Yeah, then yeah. There was Costigan's, and luckily I had an older brother, you know, and I started going out when I was 13, 14.
You were getting into Costigan's at 14 years old?
13, 14 Costigan's, yeah. And I remember one time I had my stepbrother, shout out Mark Bard, I had his ID, and I looked nothing like him, absolutely yeah. nothing. I'm green eyes, he's brown eyes, and you know, not even close. And one of the bouncers there, I can't remember, Clarence or one of those guys, and he follows me in the bathroom. He goes, you know, who are you? Let me see your ID. He goes, that's not you. He goes, don't ever come here again. Next week, I'm back. Yeah. You know, but I remember dancing, you know, you're dancing up on the speakers. And craziest story from Costigan's. I was 13 years old. And, I, you know, I don't need to talk about women. It is what it is. And people that know me know that, you know, where I've been, how I do.
Yeah.
But, and I have two beautiful children. Shout out Cameron Natto and Ariana Natto. Love you. But I was 13 dancing on the dance floor with a lot of those college basketball players. You know, so you talk, you know, 6'10", 6'8", and here I am, this, six, you know, skinny 6 foot, you know, kind of pretty boy, but not fitting in his body yet.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this beautiful girl comes over. We start dancing. I mean, we start making out. I'm 13 years old. You know, so making out at 13, I feel like I hit a home run, slam dunk. Yeah. And then the next day, I go into school, and I go to the middle school part, and there's a new student teacher. And that was her. So that's probably my best story from there. Of course, you had a couple, you know, people getting in scuffles and stuff like that. But Costigan's was amazing. It's a three-story bar. I love Costigan's. La Casiel. First time I went there, my big brother Ricky, one shout out again, Ricky Natto, let me borrow one of his Nike sweatshirts. I had half a sip of a beer, yeah. Puked all over the sweatshirt, never even made it in the Luck. Yeah. So that was that.
Yeah. Know?
So good, it was time. Good.
Missed those days. Missed those places. So let's transition. Let's get to high school here.
Ready?
Yeah. So you would have came in as a freshman. What? 96?
97.
97. Yep. So who was in front of you? Clavette was a junior, probably.
Yeah, Clavette was a junior. So the lineup back then was Luke Pennington. You had Sean Pelletier. Shout out Sean, who's I think a pharmacist in town now here in Madawaska. Yeah. So he was there. So another couple big boys down low. You had Clavette. And, you know, I think Marshall was on that squad, too, at that point. I made varsity as a freshman, all that good stuff. But back then it was Robert Plourd, who originally I think is from Fort Kent.
Yep.
And he was the coach over here, so he didn't really believe in playing freshmen. So there's two freshmen that made it. I was one of them.
Who's the other one?
Guy Michaud.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, so shout out Guy. And yep. So we both made it, and he didn't really give us any minutes. So we're killing on JV, blowing people out 30, you know, by 30 points or whatever, but really didn't get the call up. Then, you know, you fast forward to the next year. So I think they lost in the preliminaries. They didn't even make it to the tournament that year. So fast forward next year, Matt Rosnall. Yeah. Shout out Matt Rosnall, legend, Van Buren legend, 2,257 high school points.
But who's counting?
But who's counting besides me and Matt? you know, so, you know, just a Van Buren legend, D1 standout, you know, played against a lot of big names. And I'm sure this program is going to be awesome once Matt gets to tell some of his stories because he's played against – you know, every player you can imagine, and definitely the underdog that started D1 4 years. But that's Matt's story, so I'll let Matt tell that.
Yeah.
But he came to Madawaska. So as soon as he came in, you know, he knew I had talent, and he literally said, this is the way it's going to be. The best players play. Yeah. I don't care what age you are. I don't care who your parents are. If you can ball, you're going to ball. And we bumped out, me and Guy step in sophomore year, and we both start. And we bumped out two seniors, and I don't need to say their names
because right,
whatever's man. Whatever. But now you got two sophomores starting, so we had a nice squad. And you know, Derek at that point was a junior, so our starting lineup was I believe it was Eric Jondro, Andrew Clavette, myself, Guy, and Ben Marshall.
Yeah.
And Coop was coming off the bench, and I think at that point, I mean, Cooper's a very athletic dude. I think Matt Rosnall didn't really know what to do with a guy that, you know, that was athletic like that. How to really utilize him at that point, because junior in high school, I mean, Derek was great soccer player and stuff, but he didn't get the nod until senior year, and then, you know, they took it to a different level. But our squad was good, except down low. Honestly, our big men were always horrible the years I played, with the exception of Sean and Luke Pennington, but that's when I wasn't really getting minutes. But sophomore year was the come up year, and it was a good year. I mean, I think we went 13-5, lost first round of the tournament. But it was good. I think my stats were like 18 a game as a sophomore.
Who's counting?
But who's counting? You know, it's big time.
So exactly. Yeah, so that's one of my questions about that, because you mentioned how many points Matt scored. Was that something in the back of your mind, like from right day one, like, well, I'm coming for it?
Well, the thing was is, you know, Matt had a different way to do it. You know, they got to play in pre-tournaments and stuff, so where we got 18 games plus whatever you get in the tournament, he was getting 2-3 extra games. He started as a freshman. So, I mean, my goal was to score 1,000 points. I know between my 18 points a game as a sophomore, I scored 27 a game my junior year. You know, between those 2 years, I was at like 900 points.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to me, I'm a 1,000-point scorer that didn't score 1,000 points because I didn't play my senior year, which, you know, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But, yeah, no, it was always on my mind. I mean, I felt like it's a very obtainable goal if you, you know, if you're in the right spot, right time, and the right coach. And Matt was definitely a good coach. He put the ball in my hands a lot. And, you know, probably a lot more maybe than he should have at sometimes. And you'll get some of the footage and stuff. Same that he did with Andrew the year before. I think Andrew scored 21, 22 points a game as a senior. Yeah. Probably could have scored 30.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of talent. Yeah. I mean, to have guys like Ben Marshall, phenomenal athlete. I mean, that guy could play any sport at any time. Doesn't matter if he was in shape or not in shape. He'd do a backflip off the wall.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And cut hair.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just got some really talented guys. And like I said, Derek, you know, phenomenal athlete. So for Derek to be a guy coming off the bench, that goes to show you that our squad was strong. And it's not like, you know, obviously, you know, Guy Misha was a really solid athlete. And I've listened to a few of these episodes. And nobody's really talked about Guy. Yeah. And I'm not sure why. Because
I think Coop talked about him just briefly, maybe.
Briefly, yeah. And I mean, you're talking about a guy that was a standout athlete in every sport. Yeah. And I know 1 year, junior year, he had a little run-in with the law. And we were 5-0 at that point. But I feel like if our team would have been intact, you know, with him, I think we would have made a deep tournament run.
All right. I think one thing I had talked on with Coop's episode was like what should have been your senior year, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Like, Guy carried that team. Like, Guy was doing everything his senior year. Like, that's when it was just him, and he was good.
The thing was, is, I mean, the record wasn't good, but, I mean, he was a good ball player. So, my junior year, Derek was a senior. So, Derek starting, Ben starting, obviously me, Guy. When Guy went out, BJ Dufour came out to take his spot. And BJ Dufour was, you know, a hustler. He's a good athlete as well, a good soccer player. So, you know, he took his spot, but it wasn't the same. And, you know, coming into senior year, I mean, for myself, dropping 27 a game junior year, knowing that a lot of the good talent above me was now gone, so the ball's in my hands even more, and the competition is going to be a little softer. I was expecting to score 35, 40 a game.
Easy,
like not even breaking a sweat. I remember Fort Fairfield, I dropped 40, and I think it was all layups. I don't even think I took a free throw or a three-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, so, but then that senior year, yeah, it was, you know, he carried that team, and there was a couple younger guys, shout out Mark Garcia. And I think there's a couple other guys. I didn't really pay attention to that, but Josh Michaud, nice kid. So they had a scrappy team, but they, you know, we went 13-5 the year before. I think they went 5-13. What would have been my senior year.
Yeah, you guys had like a nice little string of good ball players, because it was like Clavette, and then Marshall, Guy, and then Garcia came up after you guys. Yeah. And he was nice.
Yeah,
he's a little bit younger, right?
A couple years younger.
Yeah, and I remember like by the time he was a senior, like he was doing things for that team too. So you guys had a good little stretch.
Yeah.
What else did I want to touch on real quick? One thing we talked about with pretty much every guy has played Fort Kent or high school ball so far up here, the Twin River Classic in Fort Kent.
I loved it.
All right. So that's how the season always tipped off. So freshman year, you weren't getting minutes. So you probably didn't get any playing time.
No.
Sophomore year, tell me about the Bengal tip-off. What do you remember? Because everyone fucking loves
the tip-off. Listen, I love accolades, so I don't care if somebody voted me, you know, best hair, you know what I mean? Best whatever, best shirt, best smile. I don't care. Best at something.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, if you won that tournament, That was the goal. And I remember I made the all-star or whatever they called the all-squad or whatever.
Team,
once or twice. I made the all-valley team a couple times. But you always want to – the teams around here you want to beat is always going to be – forget Van Buren. And I don't know why. You know, shout out Stacey, Zach, Cody, whoever else is out in Van Buren. No offense to them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a rival for me.
Yeah.
I hated playing Wisdom. Wisdom is the team I hate playing because I feel like all the Madawaska guys liked all those girls.
Oh, okay.
So dudes that weren't even trying to play before. Like Ben Marshall didn't give a shit about anything in life, and all of a sudden we're playing Wisdom and he wants to be the point guard.
He wants to go for
you know, and same thing with Derek or whatever. Like all of a sudden, you know, the box of ones where I got the ball, now I don't have the ball. So I hated playing Wisdom. And, you know, whatever's whatever. Fort Kent.
And Chad was fired up for those games,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Chad's pumped up. I don't know why. They're running slow plays where you don't even, you know, they're stalling the ball. I remember they're stalling the ball. So those are my games I didn't score points because you got every guy that wants a girlfriend trying to impress somebody. Yeah. So that was wisdom was a nightmare. I think me and Chad were always stuck around 16 points. We both averaged over 25.
Yeah.
So I hated, and it's not because they could guard me. I just wasn't getting the shot.
What did you think of the gym? How about the gym itself? Chad's just the best gym in America. But
I think that is, I remember playing the Dare games there. And Dare, you score 100 points. I think the basket was 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
So the best gym to him, to me, that's silly. You can only fit about 30 people. Looks like a potato barn. But, you know, it's fine. I mean, we like to have 1,000-plus fans in our gym. So no hating on Jeff. But Fort Kent, by far, is the team that I love playing.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, their girls were prettier. Like St. Agatha, no offense to St. Agatha girls, but, you know, back then I didn't even really care. But you got girls like Amber Natta. She had this huge, huge crush on me, but she had the same last name as me. So I thought that was weird, you know. But every time I went there, I was pumped up. And I remember that was probably my favorite game was in Fort Kent. Sue Pooler, who was a teacher here, and I think her husband, Kermit, you know, he was connected to Fort Kent somehow too. But anyway, before the game, she was a Fort Kent diehard. They lived in Fort Kent. And she's like, take it easy on my team.
Yeah.
And it's my junior year, and I'm pumped up. I'm listening to whatever I'm listening to before the game. And at halftime, I had 24 points, 8 for 8. I didn't miss a shot.
Was this tip-off or was this regular season?
This is regular season.
Oh, shit.
Regular season. Yeah. Murdered it. So I had 24 points or something like that. And Don Mitchell comes at a halftime. He goes, they can't fucking stop you. You know, and this is a coach swearing. So yeah. I was all pumped up. Yeah. And that was the part of our 5-0 run before the, you know, whatever with Gee happened. But that was just like, I ended up with 36, I think, in three quarters. I might have outscored the whole team, you know, for Kent team, which was exciting. Because, you know, back in the day, it was Delisle had sent a little letter or something to me.
I heard about that.
Andrew Clavette. And I didn't even know why it was directed towards me. I just started, you know, I was a sophomore at that point. But it was something about, you know, I don't know, questioning our, you know.
Dumont told the story on his episode.
Oh, he did? Yeah. So I don't know. I think there was some negative slang used towards us, which, you know, I didn't even know what was going on. I was flattered that my name was mentioned by a senior, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
But, I love playing for Kent. And Wisdom, like I said, if everybody wasn't puffing out their chest, I would have loved to play him too. Because I think from Ryan Parody, Todd Tebow, shout out Todd Tebow, Ryan. You know, you have the Gervais brothers, you know, good athletes. And even at that point, there was Jeremiah Sock that had played for them for a year. And, you know, with him, you know, Jeremiah's trying to arm wrestle. You know, he's trying to wrestle. He's not even trying to play basketball at that point, you know. So, but I hated playing Santa Gut Wisdom, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. And that is, it's not taking anything away. Jesse Levesque, two shout out Jesse Levesque.
Matt Burgoyne.
That's absolutely the thing,
like, I'm mad because, like, that time frame, like, that, like, your 4 years, it would have been four years, or even, like, the year after that. Like, every team was good except for Fort Kent. Like, that's when St. Agatha had their guys. Yep. You had your guys. Yep. Van Buren was solid, too, at that time frame.
Yeah,
Fort Kent sucked.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I love Fort Kent from the college to, you know, like I said, just that aura. Fort Kent's like what Madawaska should have been. You know, we got the paper mill. You guys got the hospital and the college.
University.
I'll trade that all day. I'll trade that all day. You know, you got the population. You're Class B, so you're playing the bigger schools.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, Class C, we're playing D, you know, and we're playing maybe 1B school or whatever it was at that point. But you guys are playing Class A schools. So you guys have more competition. So it's a little bit harder to be making tourney runs and stuff like that. And I think you guys are C now.
Yeah, we're seeing it now.
So that changes the element a little bit. And shout out to Derek Cooper's team. Great job coaching them this year.
Yep.
I know they won a game in the tournament, which is something I can't say I ever did. We went to the tournament. So great job, Derek. He's you know, anybody knows Derek. He's a stand-up dude. And, you know, he works hard at whatever he's doing. So shout out to Fort Kent boys making it to the tournament and winning a game.
I feel like all you Madtown guys just want to leave and come to Fort Kent. Like, Clavette came and coached in Fort Kent. You got all these Fort Kent dreams. Coop's coaching in Fort Kent now.
Yeah. So you know, I think if Jim Graffin would have stayed there, I think my journey would have been different. I think I would have, you know. But no, even Eric, I can't remember his last name, the coach.
Warrington?
Yeah, I mean, he was a great dude. I think the program's just went. Lucas Levesque was a good dude.
Yeah.
And just the program, it's a professionally run program, and you get a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
In Northern Maine, which I think is great.
And and you don't get that really in any other town in the county, like North of Bangor, to be honest.
I don't even know if you get that in Southern Maine.
Yeah.
I mean, we got soccer players from Jamaica, we got ball players from Spain. I mean, you're talking, it's just it's nice to see in a small area people that bring different elements to to the area.
You know? No doubt.
So, yeah.
All right, it's that time of the episode. We're going to get to our first sponsored segment. Ethan asks. Actually, unsponsored. Unsponsored.
Unsponsored.
Big Rick's upstairs. Maybe we'll go talk after this. Ethan asks. Big time question.
This time on Ethan Asks, big time questions. Tom, you might want to save that one. That's, I think we've got a new segue. It's a hard hitter. Rusty Nettle, what's up, man? Shit, I haven't talked to you in fucking years. It's been a long time. Hope all is well. I got to get your perspective on something. You know, when I came through high school, we still had that kind of long-standing rivalry with Madtown, and I somehow became bitter enemies with our boy Nate Legassi. And coming up through sports, butting heads, and even like a year after high school, I think we actually ended up brawling it out at a pit party, and then we chugged some beers and kind of became best friends after that. So it's kind of funny how shit works, but he's still one of my best friends to this day. But I just got to know, was it the same way when you were coming through? What was that rivalry like? I can't even say that fucking word. Rivalry. What was that like when you were coming through from a Madtown perspective? Did you have any bitter enemies from Fort Kent? Who did you hate the most? I'm trying to stir the pot a little bit here.
There you go.
Oh, gee, I mean, where do you start with a question like that? Who do you hate the most? I mean, shit. Honestly, if you had on a Fort Kent or a Wisdom jersey, I didn't like you. I don't care if you're a nice ball player. I don't care if you're a nice dude. But the interesting thing is most of the guys that I end up liking after high school, shout out Sean Karen, great dude. Obviously, I mentioned the Bards a couple times, great family. But you're talking even Aaron Dumo, he stand-up guy. You know, all the guys you compete against, even Delisle, Jeremiah, you know, meeting him after high school was completely different than in high school. So the people that you ended up not liking, you know, you ended up being cool with. Any person I really hated, I mean, I think hate's a strong word. In high school, honestly, I mean, I had ears pierced, the gelled hair, and the Abercrombie shirt, so I really wasn't hating anybody. Life was good. You walk down the hallways just slapping everybody fives, but I definitely did not like anybody from Fort Kent and Wisdom, and now I think I have more boys from Fort Kent and Wisdom than I do from Manawaska.
That's how it is, I think. Everyone feels that way. So you kind of touched on the whole, basically like Fort Kent, Madtown, St. Agatha, Van Buren, those four schools. It's kind of like the big five in Philly with like LaSalle, Temple, Villanova, mm-hmm. all these schools. Like we're not really in the same class because we got two Class D, Class C, and a B at the time. But yep. Just that rivalry, you want to beat everybody. But at that time, you were going up against some good Class C schools too, though, right?
Yeah.
So who were some of the other guys you remember? And you guys would have played Holton, so that's when Holton was really, really good.
Yeah, Holton. The thing is names, you know, of a lot of the guys that I played with, I remember. But guys I played against, I'm trying to think. You know, I know Holton when I was younger, sophomore year, they had Sleeper.
Yeah,
Willie Sleeper. He was a good baller. They had a couple other guys. But honestly, it might sound whatever. I never thought about who I played against. I never even paid attention. I was just locked into what I wanted to do, you know. Other names of like people I competed against, you know, at AAU and stuff like that. You got Nick Kaner Medley, shout out Nick Kaner Medley, Walter Phillips, you know, these are all Portland boys, you know, Salvaggio brothers. Before my senior year, I did a little tour with Cheverus. I got recruited by Cheverus after my junior year, and that's Class A. They wanted me to play Class A, and I ended up meeting the girl, and she got pregnant, and the rest was history. But I did have the Class A dream coming up, and I was blessed to play with a couple guys. Shout out Tyler True and Huey Arnold, my boy lifeguard down in Old Orchard Beach. And it was great experience to play Class A summer league ball against all those guys that I played against in AAU and stuff. And, you know, it was good. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. My daughter's now 16. Yeah. Beautiful young girl, smart, nice. But you never know what the other side would have been. You know, would I have been an NBA player? Probably not. Probably not. But I could have maybe been a nice D2 player. Probably. Yeah. You know, Medley, like I said, Medley, you know, he's been playing overseas. He's making $200,000-$500,000 a year at 35 years old, you know, playing ball, you know, mastering his craft still. So, yeah. You know,
So Cheverus, that was a done deal. That was going to happen.
Yeah, that was a done deal. I got recruited. I went down, and it was weird because the Salvaggio brothers, Marco and Anthony, they had an older brother, Angelo, and Angelo brought a state championship to Cheverus probably 3, 4, 5 years prior.
Yep.
So when I came down, Marco was the shooting guard. So they bumped him to the bench, and he was a senior, so it was a big thing. So it was like, wow, here's this guy from Madawaska. They called me Flash because I did a lot of between the legs, behind the back stuff. And I said, Flash comes down, and all of a sudden Flash is taking the spot. And I lived in Old Orchard for the summer while I'm playing summer league, and that's where I ended up meeting Ariana's mother. And for a Northern Maine guy, you know, who always has been kind of pretty boy, kind of bad boy, to go down to the city or a small city or big city at that time for us, me, you know, all these girls are interested. And, you know, up north, it's tough because we used to go by the loyalty thing. If my buddy dated you, I'm not dating you. You know, so there's about 15 girls in high school that are dateable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe you get to date one and then everybody else has dated one of the other ones. So it's very limited. And then if you're good looking and you're on point, you go downstate. I mean, you know, you're a good looking cat and your brother as well, both your brothers. It's a different element. So at 17 years old, going down to Old Orchard Beach, catching a tan, and all of a sudden you got, you know, 15, 20 girls like, who's this cute boy that's innocent?
Mm-hmm.
You get in a little trouble, and you know, but everything is well, all's well that ends well. So I'm very blessed to have Ariana. But, you know, it would have been interesting, you know, playing for Cheverus that senior year, you know, hitting probably 1,300-1,400 points and then getting to a bigger market as far as maybe, you know, because I got some letters from UNH and schools like that. But these are schools that send out a lot of generic stuff too. You know, it's not necessarily like, yeah, we're going to give you a scholarship.
Yeah.
It's more like, yeah, we might have heard your name, saw you in the paper. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting. Like I said, I'm realistic, so I don't know how far it would have taken me, but I know I would have played Class A that year, and it would have been fun.
Yeah,
it would have been fun.
So any like local, like you said, UNH was reaching out to you with like some generic stuff. Any actual coaches, colleges recruiting?
Yeah, I had there was Colby, Farmington, so a lot of the small schools in Maine, but I had letters from them. I did the Colby camp. After that Colby camp, which was after my sophomore year, I probably have 5 or 6 Thomas College and you know, all the
Maine schools.
Yeah, all those ones besides the really smart ones. I don't think Bode never gave me a letter or anything like that. But yeah, all the other ones I definitely had. And I mean, I had Graffam, like I mentioned Jim Graffam earlier, and he told me in eighth grade, you know, like, you know, when you graduate high school, if you want to go play overseas, I'll make that happen.
Mm.
Like he saw something in me back then. And I'm not sure if I eloped to the player that he thought I would be. But when he saw me, he saw some raw hunger and talent. So, yeah,
I think he told everybody that. I think I got the same talk.
Well, he's a good salesman.
Yeah, he's a good salesman.
Probably comes to the cars, but no, I mean, I definitely had a lot of interest and stuff, but nothing big time. Not like this show. Nothing big time.
Nothing big time like this.
Nothing big time.
All right, going to get to round two of Ethan Ass. Ethan came up with some hot shit for question one. Ethan, what do you got for question two, bud?
So this question might stir up a bit of a family feud, but I'm not here to fuck around. I'm here to ask the hard-hitting questions. So I'm going to give you 3 choices for the best late night after the bar snack spot. Option 1 is the hot dog stand outside of Costigan's. It's a fucking classic. Option 2 is Bill's Pizza down in Old Orchard Beach. And option 3 is a Big Rick's Burger. What do you got?
Another great question.
I mean, Ethan, you're on point. And I got to shout out Nate Lagasse. Nathan Lagasse. That's another brother from another mother. I love you, Nate. You're my boy for life. I'm glad you and Ethan are cool. You're both good dudes. But as far as back to this question, I just had to throw that in there. Without a doubt, I mean, Big Rick's Burgers and Wings. I've been to all the other spots. And, you know, at 14, 15, yeah, getting a hot dog's great. But if you can get a put in some wings, you know, nice flavor wings, you're not losing. And the thing about Bill's Pizza, I'm going to tell you something, Ethan, and if you ever become single again, which I don't know if you will, or any single folks listening out there, remember this. You know, guys like us, you know, usually get a yes from a girl at the bar. That's just how it works. Tom knows how that is, you know. But if you do happen to get a no, or one of your buddies gets a no, and usually it's more likely our buddies than us, but they get a no, just tell them around 1:15, go to Bill's Pizza. And that beautiful girl that said no to them, watch her eat. Watch her eat that pizza. You ain't going to be mad anymore. She said no. All right.
So you kind of touched on what happened your senior year.
Yeah.
So what happened from there? Because I kind of lost track with Rusty for like 4 or 5 years, it feels like, for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely went missing in action. I mean, basketball was my life before I had an infatuation with dating.
Let me ask you something real quick, because you mentioned Shovers. Did you know it was an all-dude school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You were cool with that?
Well, the catch-22 on that, I mean, it was turning to a co-ed school that next year, so a lot of people don't know that. That was 01. But yes, at that time, technically, it was an all-boys school. But then you had the Catherine McCauley girls. And I mean, I could tell you one thing. Anybody that likes women knows that, like, a woman from a private school, you know, wearing that outfit. I mean, you can't. I don't think you can go wrong. I'm not trying to be that guy, but you can't go wrong. So that would have been a co-ed the year I would have went.
Yeah.
What was the thing you said before that?
Yeah. Where were we? Yeah, you disappeared for like 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. So, like I said, before my senior year, went down to Chevres, and then I met Ariana's mom, Cheryl. And actually, I came back up here for a little bit for my senior year, and then I started dating a girl at my school. So I was doing the double dating thing, and then all of a sudden, one of them got pregnant, and you know, I said I got two choices: I can start working and be a dad, or I can try to continue what I want to do. And I picked the being the dad thing. And you know, a lot of people at that point said, you know, why don't abortion, stuff like that, and not to get in all kinds of religious stuff, but that's not how I am. Yeah. And my daughter was the first baby I held, so I just transitioned. I moved downstate. That's where Ariana's mom was from, was the Bridgeton area, Portland area, and just started working, putting in work. And until about 22, 23, I probably did every shitty job you can imagine, you know, from working at the main mall at Filene's, which is like a Macy's. Filene's, you know, getting chased around by a couple cute Asians, having to hide in the fitting room to stay away from them, and I'm getting in trouble. But yeah, so I mean, from everything, I worked at the Subways down there. I met that weird guy, Jared, that ended up getting, he came to the Subway. He was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
And now he's a big deal somewhere else. But yeah, so, you know, it was interesting. I did everything under the sun. And then around 22, finally started coming to my own. I got into the mortgage business, very lucrative for about 4 or 5 years. Then the recession happened, whatever's whatever. And, you know, did some training to be a financial advisor at Wells Fargo. And, you know, my older brother's super talented in sales, you know, Big Rick's, obviously. But before Big Rick's, he was managing, you know, Berlin City Nissan down in Portland, killing it, making big bucks, doing big things. And, you know, I always said I never wanted to sell cars. I don't know anything about cars except I like nice cars.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's in them, how they drive, or whatever. And, you know, so the funny thing is, you know, at the end of the day, I ended up getting into the car business by default. I have a boy, Cameron, who's 4. So I met his mom actually with you. We were
one of those nights.
That was that night. You know, the night with Tom and what's your boy's name?
Woogie.
Shout out Woogie. I love you, Woogie. You're my brother from another mother. Besides Derek, Derek's my real brother. But anyway, so yeah, I went out with the host right here, Tom, and. You know, we were out, and I think I'd gone to the casino earlier in the night, and him and Woogie called me up and said, hey, you want to go to the club out in Bangor? I said, yeah, let's go. Let's get it done. You know, we were all GTL. You know, Woogie's maybe a little different than GTL, you know. But me and Tom are definitely looking fly that night. You know, Tom's always been a good boy. He's got a beautiful wife and all that stuff. So I think his wife was with us, and end up seeing a couple girls. They're looking over, whatever's whatever, and you know, we continue our night, and then I look over at Tom and Woogie, so I'm going to go get that girl on the dance floor. She's dancing with some guy. And, you know, they're laughing. You know, they don't really know what to think of it, and all of a sudden I walk over, and they see that other guy walking away, and I'm dancing with a girl. And you know,
True story.
18 months later, Cameron was born, or a year later, shortly after, whatever, and me and his mother tried to make it work. So, you know, two unplanned kids, so, you know, it is what it is, but I'm been out of that relationship for about a year. Everything's good. Dating a new girl. I won't say any names because, you know, you don't want to jinx anything or whatever. If it doesn't work out, this podcast, these podcasts live forever.
It's
you
true,
know?
Right.
So you got to shout out the athletes and the kids. You know, so Cameron Natto, my heart. Ariana Natto, my other half of my heart. So those are the kiddos. Shout out my dad, my mom, Linda Sear, obviously, all the practices they came to. My parents were very supportive. So they came to all the games and you know, just great. Everything's great.
And I feel like at one point you came back and you were about to attend UMFK.
That's a true story as well. You know, I came back and I still had that thirst for basketball. It was always an interesting balance because, you know, my daughter lives with me full time now. I'm a full time dad, which I'm very happy. She moved with me about 3 years ago for high school, which is crazy to think that I have a daughter in high school.
Right.
You know, and but I always wanted to kind of finish what I started, and I never really had that opportunity. So that I was up here, I don't know if I lived here for a month or two or something, and I was always fighting between being where Ariana was and, you know, basketball or whatever. And up here, I would have loved to play, and I talked to the coach, and I was supposed to play, and it just didn't happen. You know, when and that's the thing, to any younger kids that might be listening to the great Tom Bard speaking, you know, when you have the opportunity to live your life, you live your life, and kids can come later. Yeah. And, you know, once you make that choice, then you got financial responsibilities, you got all these other things, and if you actually love your blood, then they got to come first. So I dabbled with it. I would have loved to do it. You know, I would have loved to put on a Fort Kent Bengal uniform, not a Warrior uniform, but a Bengal uniform, yeah. You know, and go that route. I played a couple semesters at NMCC real quick. I think I was the assist leader, which is crazy because I never passed the fucking ball. I mean, you ask Derek. Derek will tell you, yeah, Russ was a great shooter, but he didn't pass the fucking ball. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Andrew. You know, Andrew's a great player. He don't pass the fucking ball.
Still doesn't.
No, but one nice thing, like I gave a lot of credit to Andrew, but I got to jab Andrew a little bit, and he'll probably get me back on his episode. I'm pretty sure he's the only, you know, all whatever he ended up being that wore glasses, I think his junior year. You know, so shout out to Andrew Clare wearing actual glasses in high school basketball. I love
there
you, Andrew.
Go. We got one more question from Ethan. Ethan asks, this might be the best round of Ethan asks we've ever had on the podcast right here. Ethan's motivated. What do we got on deck this time, Ethan?
All right, last question is actually a celebrity question from Big Brother Ben Raymond.
Oh, I love Ben.
We're going to put senior year Rusty versus senior year Andrew Clavette into an NBA All-Star Weekend style skills competition. The question is, who gets confused more by the passing portion? And do either of you even make it past that part of the competition?
Wow.
Ethan, I'll tell you what, man. You need another sponsorship on top of the sponsorship.
No, Ethan doesn't have one. You got to go talk to Rick for it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make that happen. I know a lot of people being in the sales business. And
maybe even your dealership. Yeah. Ethan needs sponsorship dollars. He needs a bag.
We're going to have to help out with that. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if it's a passing lane, I'm not even looking at it. And I can tell you Andrew's not even looking at it. I mean, we'll pass right by it, but we're not going to be doing the passing drills. It's like the hot shot competition. I mean, what's a pass? You know, the guy that has the best chance to make the shot gets the ball.
Holy shit. Great question. Shout out to Ben Raymond, too, for coming through with the assist.
Yeah, what's up, Ben?
Yeah. Another thing that's crazy, too, like you talked about, you had all these looks, like different coaches, different programs, stuff like that. But, like, the desire to go to UMFK was always there. Like, Chad said the same thing, too. Like, I wanted to be a Bengal. Like, I wanted to go to UMFK, and I was the same way, too. Like, I wanted to come and play UMFK. So,
yep.
It's crazy. I got a question for you because you mentioned not liking to pass the ball, and I kind of made fun of Coop on his episode because one thing I remember from when Madtown used to come to Fort Kent and play, when it came time for layup lines and you guys are going for left-handed layups, you guys would always finger roll with the right hand. Were you all right-handed or did you have a left hand too?
So I got a left hand too, and I broke my thumb, my right hand thumb playing baseball my freshman year, so I learned how to play with my left hand. But I think the finger roll thing was honestly, I mean, a lot of guys couldn't dunk, you know, so that was
the next best thing.
Yeah. That's like the white boy wasted thing, you know, mm-hmm. You're just trying to do what you can. And, you know, for me, a couple times close layup lines, you know, in Caribou Summer League and stuff, we were close to banging it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. That was our swag. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, we had interesting layup lines. You know, you try to watch one of our things, and even on our videos, sometimes you're throwing it off the backboard trying to do the tap drill. We did that.
Somebody always mess it up.
Yeah, somebody's always messing it up. You know, you got the 12th guy on the bench that, you know, is just clapping at the end. You know, but I can tell you this real quick before I forget. Best teammate I've ever had is Denise Sear. And I know he hasn't been mentioned on the show or whatever. He didn't play many minutes. Just great teammate. He cheered like, you know, he was a fan of the game. And the cool thing about Denise, he was always down to go play pickup, whatever. His older brother Eric played a couple years varsity. But Denise was a great, great teammate. And I think a lot of people forget about the teammates, you know, that helped them going, you know, that didn't hate or weren't mad about points. And the best thing about Denise, I'll see real quick, I don't even know if he's on Facebook or anything like that, but Denise played about 35 seconds in a game, and he hit 2 3-pointers. So he tells the coach after the game, he goes, you know, if I actually started, I'd score about 65 points a game.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
So shout out Denise here.
Yeah. Time to get to our actual sponsored segment. Charlito Wonders, brought to you by
Rocks Family Diner, Fort Kent, Maine. Go check them out. Charlito, what are you wondering today?
Yo, Rusty, what's good, my dudes? Charlito out here in Halifax. Yeah, we went from being rivals in high school to being pretty good buddies, but I'm just wondering if you could have, like, drafted one person from Fort Kent and moved them to Madawaska to play some basketball with you. Who would have been that one person you would have selected?
Great question. Great question. I mean, if we're talking the generation that I was at, you know, or we're talking generations before, I'd have to talk about before because, like I said, my memory is short-term as far as people I played against. But people that I followed, Lon Berthume. Mm. I remember him, you know, shout out Lon Berthume, coming up to me after one of my games, and he said, you're the second best shooter I've ever seen. I said, who's number one? He goes, me. I said, damn, man. I didn't, you know, and so that would probably be the guy, or even the Martin, you know.
Ryan Martin.
Shout out again, Ryan Martin. Also, one other quick shout out I forgot, Alan Campbell.
Yeah.
You know, he came up under me. I actually babysat the kid when he was young. He had no clue what a basketball fucking was.
Yep.
He used to call me Wusty and my brother Wiki. So, shout out Alan Campbell, and we play a little basketball at my mom's you know, beautiful farmhouse, Victoria Mansion, she paid too much for.
Yeah.
You know, right across from the Gateway Motel. Shout out Linda Sear, George, sorry you had to pay for all that. But yeah, so shout out Alan Campbell, quite a good ball player himself. But yeah, I would probably pick out Lon Berthume or a guy like Charlie, and not just saying that because Charlie's whatever, but I look for hustle, I look for a, you know, attitude, effort, and knowledge. And I think if you go toe-to-toe with anybody, you know, I think you put a couple guys in a room and Charlie's going to come out with the answer, yeah, figure it out. So
it's true. Shout out Big Bro. Picked again, no doubt. So one of our last segments we always do, we don't have a name for it or a sponsor yet. Maybe Big Rick's. Maybe you can put in some work after.
Yeah, I think Big Rick's possible.
Yeah. So one question I always ask my guests is where it gets deep. It might be easy for you, though, because I don't think you have many choices. I ask them, what jersey do you want to be buried in when you die? And I'm guessing it's got to be the Owl jersey, right?
Nah.
No.
Nah. The Owl jersey is one of those things you wake up in the middle of the night, you're sweating, you say, shit, I didn't score 1,000 points. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, but it would be the AAU jersey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that took it to a different level for me. You know, you're playing against guys that actually played D1 or go to play D1 and then played in the pros. So I'd be buried in the AAU jersey all day.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, but that actually is blue and white, too. So, you know, I'm not completely.
Still the blue and white.
You can put an owl on there.
Yeah. No shit.
It.
Well, Rusty, it's been a pleasure.
Same here. I appreciate it.
Our second owl on Big Time, the podcast. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Make sure you tune in next week. As always, we're bringing you all kinds of exclusive shit. You got something you want to?
Yeah, shout out Charlie Barr. Love you, Charlie. Shout out Sam. I know you're out in Florida right now, you pretty boy. And obviously, shout out Tom, the whole Barr family. I don't know Emily as well, but Barr family, bunch of good dudes, great athletes, good people, Joey. I know the mom a little bit, but yeah, shout out to the Bars. I appreciate being on the show.
No doubt. So thank you for listening. Like always, tune in next week for another big episode. With that, Tomas, Rusty, we're out.
Peace.